Dear friends in Christ, today is LWML Sunday, and as we celebrate the mission of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, I've chosen a text on missions, Jonah 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, and preach against it, for their evil has come up before me. Dear friends in Christ, arise, go to Nineveh, and preach against it. Jonah is called to go beyond his borders because we have a Savior who loves all people, even those beyond our borders. But this call was to Nineveh, the chief of all sinners. In the Old Testament, Assyria, of which Nineveh is a chief city, is compared to a swarm of killer bees, a razor that slits throats, a rod that maims and mauls. When Assyrians took over a town in battle, they would take any survivors and impale them on stakes in front of the city. Then they would remove their heads and use them as pillars in front of the city gates. And some they would skin alive and use their skins for decorations. This is not a friendly nation, and Nineveh is not a friendly city. Not exactly on the top 10 holiday destinations. But it's to this group of people, to this great enemy of God, that God calls Jonah to go and preach against it. Nineveh needs a nuclear assault, but God sends a prophet. Now, Jonah had a comfy, cushy, and well-paid job because he was a court prophet for the king. For God to ask Jonah to go to Nineveh would be like asking an LCMS pastor who has a church on the beach in Maui, Hawaii, to go and start a church in Kabul, Afghanistan. You get the picture. So what does Jonah do when God calls? When God says, you go this way, he goes that way. He hangs up on the phone on God, and the message on his answering machine goes like this. Hello, this is Jonah. I'm unable to take your call right now. Please do not leave your name, your number, or a message because I won't be getting back to you. If we were to compare Jonah with Moses, we would have to envision Moses throwing cold water on the burning bush. So Jonah gets out of town as fast as he can and heads to Joppa so he can catch a ship to Tarshish, which represents a distant Shangri-La. But as Jonah runs away from God's call on his life, notice that he goes down, 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 down. And if you run away from God's call, that's what's going to happen to you too. The book of Jonah puts it like this. So Jonah decided to go down to Tarshish. So he went down to Joppa. And he got on a ship and went down to the heart of the ship. And when the storm came, the sailors threw Jonah overboard and he went down to the depths. Down to the foundations of the mountains. You see, when you and I run away from God's call on our lives, we begin a slow downward spiral toward death and away from the gracious presence of God in Christ. On this LWML Sunday, the question is, do you have a Tarshish? Are you running away in the opposite direction from the place or person God wants you to go to? You will be found out, you know. Escape is futile. The Lord will send the perfect storm in your life if that's what it takes to get you or me to bring God's word to that person he's been nudging you to visit. The same Lord who can calm the troubled waters in your life with just a word can stir up a storm in a moment's notice. And when we persist in our disobedience, the storms get rougher and rougher. He begins gently. But in the end, he'll send a tempest in your life if that's what it takes. If you are on the run from God, don't believe that God is going to ignore it. He will work to wake you up to see your sins and their consequences, and then he'll work to put that sin of running away from God's call to death in repentance, as he already put it to death in your baptism. As a result, God sends a tempest to stop Jonah dead in his tracks. A storm comes up on the sea where Jonah is sailing, and it's so severe that the ship's about to sink. It's then that Jonah tells the crew, "The storm is my fault. pick me up, hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has arisen." Do you see what Jonah is actually saying? Jonah would rather die than take the word of God to the Ninevites. So Jonah hits the water and the seas calm down instantly. God actually shows Jonah his grace by having a great fish swallow him to save his life. Paul Harvey once said, "For those of you who think it was impossible for Jonah to be swallowed by a whale, let me remind you that we have a God who could have Jonah swallow the whale if he wanted to." And for those who still doubt it, Jesus says in Matthew 12 that Jonah was indeed swallowed by the whale, because Jesus says, "As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights before he breaks out of his tomb alive on Easter morning." God oftentimes uses pain and suffering to draw us closer to him or to turn us away from our sins. So there in the belly of the whale, Jonah prays a psalm to God, saying, "The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down, and the bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God." God hears Jonah's prayer and sends him out of the front end of the fish. Jonah foreshadows the story of Jesus. Just as Jonah faced the judgment of God, so Jesus faced the judgment of God, but he did it for our sins. Just as Jonah experienced separation from the Lord, so did Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And just as Jonah is burped out of the fish on the third day, so Jesus checks back out of his grave alive on the third day, having conquered our well-deserved death for running away from God and his call on our lives. Next, we hear God's grace in Jonah 3. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Arise, go to Nineveh and preach against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh." Our God is the God of the second chance. Remember how Peter swore and cursed that he didn't know Jesus on Maundy Thursday just to save his skin? Listen to what the Easter angel said in Mark 16. "Go and tell his disciples and Peter that they will see him." Even Peter, after all the cave-ins, curses, and cowardice, gets a second chance. So do we. Jonah survived only by God's undeserved grace. God gave Jonah compassion instead of comeuppance. And now, empowered with a second chance, Jonah goes to Nineveh to offer them the same second chance at life he received. Our Lord says in 2 Peter 3, "I desire that no one should perish, but that all come to repentance," which includes the Edomites, the Moabites, the Amalekites, the Ninevites, the Tikvites, you name it. He wants all to be saved. God wants a big family in heaven. We oftentimes live as though we should be the only child in heaven. And it's this mission of our God of the second chance that the LW Mill seeks to fulfill. This time Jonah goes and he preaches a one-sentence sermon. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Now think about this. The people of Nineveh are a powerful, arrogant, violent, wicked people. And here comes this one man, Jonah, this little guy from a weak nation on the edge of the prairie. They could have skinned Jonah alive. They did it to others for condemning their city, but they didn't. Instead, they listened to him. Granted, it might be easier to listen to a prophet who spent the last 3 days in the belly of a fish, because no doubt his skin and hair would have been bleached from the digestive juices in the whale. His clothes is half digested. There's dried up kelp and seaweed in his hair. I think I'd listen to a guy like that too, who says, "Repent, or God will do to you what he did to me." And then another miracle works. Let me tell you, if the Ninevites can be saved, anybody on planet Earth can be saved. We're told in Jonah 3:5, the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he issued this proclamation: Let neither man nor beast taste anything, let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them cry out mightily to God, and let everyone turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows, God may relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. The Ninevites repent and believe and are saved. God's loving heart and powerful word in Acts and about face. And just as God relented of bringing on that disaster, our God changes from condemnation to grace toward us for the sake of Jesus to all who repent. What an awesome and life-giving about face. And we survive. End of story, right? Not quite. As Yahweh's anger cools, Jonah's anger heats up. He now lectures Yahweh for being too loving and too forgiving. He tells God, you can't forgive those kind of sinners, and you can't forgive them that easily. When a city deserves zapping, you need to zap it. Could our reason for not sharing Jesus be not that we're afraid to, but that we think others don't deserve it? Yahweh then proceeds to heat things up against Jonah once more. Yahweh sends a hot sun and a worm that eats and kills the plant that is providing shade for Jonah, who says God doesn't have a sense of humor. The Lord says, look, Jonah, here you are pitying this little plant because it died and it won't give you shade. Shall I not pity the people that will die forever? Jonah embraces a gospel for me but not for thee lifestyle. And it's a deadly lifestyle. Even though the whole city of Nineveh repented and came to faith, Jonah is not happy. The question is, are you and I on the same page as God? A new resident was walking down the street and noticed a man struggling with a washing machine at the door of his house. When the newcomer volunteered to help, the homeowner was overjoyed, and the two men began to work and struggle with the bulky appliance. After several minutes of fruitless effort, the two stopped and just stared at each other in frustration. After they caught their breath, the first man said to the homeowner, "We're never going to get this machine in." To which the homeowner replied, "I'm trying to get it out." The truth is, we only get things done when we're on the same page as Jesus. Jonah's sin was an unloving and unforgiving heart. Jonah and the Lord were on completely opposite pages. Jonah was condemning. Jesus was forgiving. The Lord responds to evil with free forgiveness, and Jonah doesn't like it one bit, except for himself. He doesn't want God to love the Ninevites. Like Jonah, we often forget that we have a God who God so loved the world kind of God. So what does Yahweh do? He asked Jonah a simple question: Shall I not have compassion on the great city of Nineveh? And then the story ends. We never hear Jonah's answer. We don't know if he finally embraced the Lord's Mercy for All People program. We're never told. But he's not just addressing Jonah, he's asking you too: Shall I not have compassion on the great city of Decatur? Is your answer a reluctant yes, a lukewarm maybe, or are you hanging up the phone on God and running away? The LWML embraces the Lord's Mercy for All People program, and we need to be on the same page. So what does Yahweh do? He sends the answer. Jesus said in Matthew 12, "I tell you the truth, one greater than Jonah is here." The story begins again. Jesus is our God of the second chance come to save us. Jesus welcomed sinners, touched lepers, healed the sick, freed the demon-possessed, raised the dead, visited those who were in prison. His love knew no boundaries or limits. He left the comfort zone of heaven to save a world full of Ninevites. Matthew 9, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. But his most shocking act of compassion was put together before the creation of the world. Jesus planned the birth of Judas so he could be betrayed. Jesus placed the iron in the earth from which the crucifixion nails would be forged. Jesus grew the tree from which his own cross would be carved. Jesus orchestrated the events that led Pilate to Judea and Caiaphas to Jerusalem to condemn him. And Jesus made sure there were crowds who would cry out, "Crucify him." Should Yahweh have compassion on Nineveh? Should Yahweh have compassion on Decatur? Should Yahweh have compassion on you? Whatever answer Jonah gave, we don't know. The real question is, what answer will you give? Jesus proclaims God's final answer with his pierced hands, feet, and side. He writes the answer, yes, in blood. Jesus is the Father's yes to having compassion. Jesus is the Father's yes to forgiveness for everyone. When we were running away from God on a fast track to hell, God also plunged us into the deep waters of baptism. The Lord drowned and put to death that side of you that doesn't care whether or not everyone is forgiven. That side of you is dead now. That's not you anymore. Just as Jonah cried out to God in repentance from the belly of the whale, and just as Jonah was spit up on dry land by the whale, we emerge from the waters of baptism alive in Christ. We are baptized Jonahs from the God of the second chance, who has a mercy for all people program. We need to get on the same page to save us. Whatever your attitude has been towards unbelievers, wherever you've been running from God, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. May the waters of your baptism that drowned and still drown the sinner in you that doesn't care whether others are saved, and may those same baptismal waters from which you emerged alive in Christ capture your heart to love as Jesus loves, to forgive as Jesus forgives, and may your baptism loosen your lips to confess his beautiful and saving name to every Ninevite you know.